Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on your Sunday. I'm sure today that many of you are traveling down the highway today, and you've turned it on to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. I want to thank you again for listening. This is Vital Ministries. We're going to give you an incredible teaching this morning. I think that it would be a word of encouragement. And also, too, as you're traveling down the highway, in all honesty, what else do you have time to do other than to listen to something? Because I encourage you, I hope that none of you are paying attention to your cell phone and texting or doing something you shouldn't be doing. So anyway, we're going to talk about that in a minute, a little bit of a fun pun there. And also to those of you on your way to church, I pray that this morning as you go to church this morning, that the Holy Spirit goes before you and that He prepares your heart to receive the message your pastor is ready to give, and also too that you'll enter today in a moment of worship and allow God and praise Him for Jesus, for who He is and what He has done in your life. Also too, those of you who are listening at home today, thank you again for doing that. Some of you are out in your shop working, some of you are working, doing multiple things, whatever it might be. I want to thank you for being with us this morning and taking time out of your morning to listen to Vital Ministries. I really, really appreciate that. Also, too, today's a big day. We have Vital Gathering tonight at 5 o'clock at Debbie's Celebration Barn. And again, this is a family-friendly event, and you're not going to want to miss it. We're going to have some great food as you begin. You come in, great food at the start. We're also, too, have our Vital Ministries worship band that's going to be there. Dale and Heather and the team are ready to go. And I've seen some of the song selections that they've done. It is going to be a praise night. You're not going to want to miss that. I'm also kicking off our teaching series. You're going to hear a little bit about that this morning. I'm going to give you this morning, those of you who will have a part one and a part two tonight, so you don't want to miss that. So it's just going to be some really, really good time. And that's from 5 to 7 o'clock, Debbie's Celebration Barn. Matter of fact, it will still be daylight when you walk out of there, so you don't want to miss it. So it's going to be a really, really great time. So please come again this Sunday night, Debbie's Celebration Barn in Oskaloosa, Iowa, from 5 to 7 o'clock. Don't miss it. Also, too, Vital Men is back next week. We begin that on Tuesday night in Oskaloosa. We'll be at the Vital Ministries building. You're not going to want to miss that. We're going to be talking about how the Constitution impacts us, how it was beginning, how did our forefathers orchestrate it, and how did they do it with the biblical principles of using God's word to make it the very basis in which a nation began. I think it's going to be some encouraging things. It's always good to, in my mind, to go back, reflect, and see how we got here in the midst of everything that's going on. So you're not going to want to miss that as well. Also, too, I just want to tell folks, don't miss out on our devotionals. We send out devotionals 6 days a week. We have For Vital Life, which is everyone. My wife writes for that, and it is outstanding. You don't want to miss it, man. She sends out some incredible nuggets, a word of encouragement. It's an easy read, and it helps begin your day. Also, too, for the men, we have Vital Men devotionals sent out, 5 different writers that send out different things. We got one guy that writes clear from Nicaragua, another nation. He's a missionary, Andy Baker, a phenomenal young man, does a wonderful job. My son, he writes on Wednesday. He is a father of a young family. He also, too, is a church planner. So it's interesting, some of the perspectives that he brings us, and alongside what he's been doing is using some of those teachings that he actually does on Sunday morning. So again, you're not going to want to miss that. Also, too, we have Clark, who writes for us, a man who's got also, too, with a young family, doing the day-to-day stuff, going to work, and how he writes and how the Holy Spirit inspires him. And then also, too, Scott Pace, what I call the hunter, the trophy man. He goes out, he wrote, matter of fact, this past Friday about a time of him going out elk hunting, and as he gets ready and he prepares for that. And for you hunters, man, he writes some pretty good stuff. So we try to have a good variety. I write on Monday. Actually, mine is online. You can see it. I always hope that I give you a nugget that begins any of your work week, but you don't want to miss that. This is some really, really good stuff. So I hope you take time in your day to look at Vital Ministries on the daily devotionals, both Vital Life and Vital Men. Don't miss that. So with that being said, we are beginning today a new teaching series today. For the next few weeks, called Focus on Him. Matter of fact, we'll have will be listening to this morning, you that are listening, you're going to get part one. It's going to be really, really good as we look at what that means. And those of you who are going to Vital Gathering tonight will get part two. So tonight, if you want to see that, if you want to listen to part one and part two, you want to make sure you're at Vital Gathering again. I'm going to give that another plug this morning. But I find it interesting how people struggle with focus today, and especially keeping their eyes and their focus on Jesus himself. You can especially see it while people are driving today. People are looking at their phones constantly, looking up phone numbers, reading emails to texting. Now, this is some interesting statistics I'm going to read for you this morning. According to statistics, we now encounter 1.6 million car crashes a year, all due to texting. We have nearly 390,000 injuries. That means that one out of four people driving down the road today are texting. In 2019, we had 3,142 fatalities, all due to texting. Loss of focus while driving. Pretty amazing when you think about it, isn't it? So I'm going to encourage you today, get your eyes off your phone, if those of you who are driving, and pay attention to the road, listen to your radio, but most of all, of where you're going and where you're headed. Focus. Loss of focus, it happens in life itself. Look at King Solomon's life as he writes in the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 12, verse 8, he says this, "Everything is meaningless," says the teacher. "Completely meaningless." See, King Solomon had everything materialistically in the world. Greater than what I would say for some of us who thinks people who are rich, greater than Bill Gates himself. King Solomon was the richest man who ever lived, but he was bankrupt spiritually with God. In his final words of wisdom, he says, "Fear God and obey his commands." He fell short on both accounts in his life because he didn't. He lost the fear of God, of who God was, and more than that, He lost obeying his command. Matter of fact, that was his last command from his father. Keep the commands and decrees of what God gives us and God's word. King David told him that, his father. And yet, King Solomon began doing that, but he got his eyes off a focus of God and got it on everyday life. See, focus is everything. Every year in the sheriff's department, and I'm on the sheriff's posse, we have to qualify in shooting in order to carry a weapon. It's a big deal. It's not something to take lightly. It's not something I especially don't take lightly. And I know those men and women who are part of the sheriff's department and also the posse do the same thing. But see, this will be my second year that I have to qualify. It takes great focus to hit a target at 75 yards away. Matter of fact, at 75 yards, you only get 9 tries at that target. We have a total of 50 rounds that we shoot at various locations being timed, and you have to hit the target 80% in order to qualify. It isn't easy. Here's the hard part for me. I'm a nervous guy anyway. I get so psyched up that I literally lose my focus. I'm to the point sometimes, have you ever seen the movie of Don Knotts, The Shakiest Gun of the West? Well, I'm not to that extreme. But my adrenaline rush is so great that it's hard for me to focus on the target, so I overpower my weapon, and sometimes I miss hitting the location of where I need to hit. It's tough. It takes precision. It takes accuracy in order to hit that target. I won't say it, but it took several rounds for me last year to qualify, and I appreciate to Deputy Sheriff Jesse Sanders and also to Ben Johnson. Those two men are leaders in our community on the Sheriff's Department. Leaders. And all those men and women who wear a uniform are leaders. I've got an opportunity to meet these men and women, and they are fantastic, and you can sleep well knowing that you are under their watch. And especially, I want to give a big hats off to Russ Van Ritterham, the sheriff himself. Great, great man. Loves his people. And also, too, He lives what he commands. What I'm saying is you'll see him out in sometimes when we go out and do different things of watching different things in the community. From matter of fact, if just over a week ago, we had an incredible night under the stars in Oskaloosa. We had a praise band of three different bands that came down. I Am They was phenomenal. The band from Night of Fire was there, and another gentleman, Umbrella of Mercy, as I forget who that was. But I was called in. I was there to watch, be a presence. And lo and behold, who shows up? Russ Van Ritterham. He leads by example. And I just encourage you to tell Russ what he and his men are doing, and women are phenomenal. And I think, in a way, as I talk about that this morning, in a way, we do the same thing in our faith. We have so many things pulling on us in life that we get jazzed up all the time, and we lose focus on Jesus himself. You know, the disciples, they struggled with the same thing. They literally had Jesus in front of them. He was there physically. But let's see today an instance in which the disciples were on a boat and see Jesus walking on water during a storm. So those of you that are home this morning, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to start reading our Bibles Matthew 14, 22, and see the moment in which Jesus walked on the water. And this is what the Bible tells us this morning. It says this: immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Now notice that Son of Man goes, leaves his disciples to go up to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. They were terrified in fear, and they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter, what does he do? He calls out to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Jesus replies, "Yes, come." So Peter went to the other side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. And he calls out, "Save me, Lord," he shouts. But Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. After that, they crossed the lake. They landed in Gennesareth. When the people recognized Jesus and the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed, they begged him to let them touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. Man, that's amazing as we read that encounter. And today, in total, between part one and part two, there's 8 lessons I believe that we can get out of this portion of scripture that I believe that can help us. Help us in the moments in which we do life. Help us in the moments of where we can take the Bible itself and we can apply it. A lot of times people will tell me, "Man, it's hard for me to read the Bible and see how it applies to my life." And I think part of that is due to the fact of sometimes you simply got to dig in. And I think sometimes we're, in all honesty, our heart's not ready to receive it yet. We'll sort of receive it later. But I think most of all, it's just important for us to realize that God shows us sometimes the things that we don't understand and makes them alive for us and helps us to realize that we can really apply that for our own lives today. So this morning, my first point is this: look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. See, the storm had surrounded the disciples and also Jesus. But at the moment, all the disciples, including Peter, they were looking for Jesus, weren't they? They were looking for him. And then when they saw him, They started looking to him, and then during this intensity of the situation, of the storm, we find Peter stops looking to him. Now, the Sea of Galilee, just to kind of get a glimpse of what it might look like, and especially those who live in South Central Iowa, I often compare it to Lake Red Rock in size. It's very similar. It's a big, massive body of water. You can't see from looking from one end to the other, from the tail to the head, but you can see from side to side all the time. You can always see land, and that's the same as the Sea of Galilee. I have been there, I have seen it, and it is true, and it's an incredible body of water. It's funny, they call it a sea, we call Lake Red Rock a lake. There's a difference of opinion, but it's the greatest fresh water place in all of Israel, and also too in that Middle East region of water, that's fresh water. And see, we see in the midst of the storm, Peter quits looking to Jesus. See, we're in the same thing, I believe, is we're in a storm in our nation. And we see people looking for Jesus, but they lose sight of looking to Jesus. And I think it's really, really important as we do that. But I want to share a story with you this morning of something that happened to my father and I as we went to the old Thrashers reunion a couple of weeks ago. And it was pretty amazing what happened. The story, it involves a woman. My dad and I, we were looking at, my dad loves to look at old tractors. And also too, most recently, I've just purchased myself a 1952 Ford 8N. For those of you who are big tractor people, that was an incredible find. That tractor that I purchased was pristine. It was clean. It had literally no rust on it. Whoever had it had taken care of it. And also, too, it was housed. It appears to me majority of the transition of the life in which it was made. But here's the interesting story that was happening. My dad and I were out looking, and we were looking, actually at the moment, we're specifically looking for 1952 Fords, how they were set up, and also too of how I can set my tractor up and doing different things as we were doing it. But we ran across a woman, and she was with two of her daughters and two of her granddaughters were with her that day. And we came up and we started, my dad and I were very similar. We're two men that don't know a stranger. We can come up and talk to anybody and carry on a conversation. So we come up and this woman is sitting on this aid. She said, "This was my husband's tractor." She was excited for it and she was showing us all the things that were built on it. And this guy did custom work. He was good with his hands. He was very meticulous and also too could see things as he was building. And then she started weeping. And she went on to share with us that her husband had passed away a few years ago of Parkinson's. And she shared with me of how often her and her husband would come to the old Thrashers. It was a big thing for him as well. And it was the first time she said she was able to come back since her husband had passed away. And in telling the story, she started weeping. She started sobbing. And it was interesting when I love that, because that was a storm in her life, and the storm had subsided. She actually shared with him, she had multiple years that she took care of her husband, and she shared that with him all the way to the end of his Parkinson's. She loved on that man, and that's what's important to us. We take the vows of marriage until death do us part. She did it. She lived it. But this was the interesting thing. Her heart was in mourning, and she was just still struggling with the loss of her husband. And my mom's been gone for over 11 plus years now. And my dad had an opportunity to step in the moment and give this woman a word of hope, a word of encouragement in the midst of her loss, because he had lost his wife. See, both of those, my dad and this woman, had been caught in a storm of losing a spouse. And what got them through this storm, and the lady shared with us the same thing in her face, was looking to Jesus in the midst of the storm. Yeah, my father or her never walked on water, obviously. But in a way, they did. Because walking on the water of mourning and lost hope and keeping their eyes on Jesus, they were able to stay afloat and stay on top of the water. And I encourage that some of you today that may be listening to me have lost a loved one, have lost somebody and maybe close, maybe a husband or a wife or a family member or a young child or whatever it might be. See, I always think in the midst of the storms, as Peter did, we got to keep looking to Jesus, Don't lose sight, especially today in the midst of things that are going on in our nation. As even just recently, a few days ago, we celebrated the 20-year anniversary of 9/11, where multiple men and women perished needlessly, all due to terrorism, and only to have those that are leading our nation today give it back to the terrorists and turn their back on the nation of Afghanistan. And we see nothing but a storm. But this leads me to point number two. When Jesus commands you, obey him. I'm going to say that again. When Jesus commands you, obey him. See, Jesus said to Peter, come. And what did Peter do? Peter does it. He gets out of the boat and he walks on water. We got to give Peter a little bit of break here because he does get out and do it. See, the story I want to share with you, the story of the first time I seen the Sea of Galilee was amazing. I'll never forget. I've seen it two times. I've touched it. And as I was on this boat, we're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, it came to my mind. I wonder what the experience must have been. We weren't in the midst of a storm, but we were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. What it would have been like for Jesus if he would have called me, if I had lived in such a time as that, would I have had the courage to step out of the boat? Would I have obeyed him in the command he asked me? See, I believe this. Many lose sight on Jesus because they don't want to obey him when Jesus makes a command to them in their life. And I encourage you to do that. Obey him. When Jesus puts something specifically in your way, in your path, will you obey him? Quick story. This past week, I had a man that came up to me. I know him very well. He's a good friend. And he was sharing with me, and he was about to go to the doctor. He had a throat situation that was going on. And he said, Mike, I just want you to think about me, pray for me. And I kept saying, yeah, I'll do that. I'll pray for you. Then all of a sudden, he gets ready to leave. And I hear the Holy Spirit says, stop him. Ask him to get out and pray now. Actually, I had another employee with me that was also a young man, only 16 years old. And he got to experience, out of obedience, we got the man out of the truck. We laid hands on him and prayed for him. And he shared with me the other day that the Lord, he got a good report on his throat. Yay, God. Thank you, Jesus. But it's in moments of like that we have faith. It's in the middle. For him, that was his storm. And God intervened and God does good things. And we prayed, or I believe with all that's within me, I give a praise out to Jesus. He healed the man. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you for asking, get out of the boat, which brings me to point number two. Faith is simply taking the next step. See, it doesn't tell you how many steps Peter took. You will not find that anywhere in the Bible how many steps Peter took. But he did take steps and he did walk on water. But the problem was, getting out of the boat and walking on the water took incredible faith. See, when you lose sight on Jesus, you lose sight on your next steps. See, I believe with all of us within me, my brother and I, for instance, we're builders. We build homes, and also too, we are now building duplexes. We are late in our career of doing that. And I'll often have people come up, why are you doing this so late in your career? I can't tell you why. We didn't. But we are now. But what I believe is this, is we're simply taking steps of faith, being obedient, because I believe this is what's going to happen for sure. It will set up us an opportunity to make a nest egg, not only for ourselves, but for our wives. And that's why we're doing it. I believe we're doing it to take next steps so God will help us someday when we get older. And maybe we might live in them ourselves because we have a zero walkway when you come in. And I love that. And we're helping a lot of people who are struggling. We've got several people who are older who rent for us. We've got three duplexes now and they're renting from us and they're latter year. We got two people that are 85 plus years old living in them. I praise God that we're giving them an opportunity to finish out their days in a nice place of rent, and also to life that is helping them. That brings me to point number four. I'm going to move really quickly here. Faith unleashes the supernatural. See, Peter didn't experience the supernatural power of God walking on the water until he trusted in the evidence of his own actions. See, they have to work together, folks. In order to step into the supernatural, you have to have action based behind it. Too often, we just want to see it as opposed to being action in it. Faith comes into play even in the supernatural. Folks, you have heard this morning, part one. Man, I am pumped, excited for part two. You're not going to miss that. It's a vital gathering tonight at 5 o'clock. It is going to be an incredible night. Between the music and the teaching is all going to be about focus on Him. I don't know about you. I need more of that in my life and in such a time as we live today. Amen? Let me pray with you today. Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for another day. I want to thank you for the opportunity of being able to speak. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that the words that I spoke was an encouragement to somebody today. I pray, Father, for somebody out there that has lost focus. I pray that you turn their eyes back on you. That they'll have hope and they'll have faith again. And Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the examples that we read in the New Testament about your life. And how the four Gospels share in intensely and in deepness moments. And those moments that you had, you encourage us that we'll have those and many more. Long as we keep our focus on you. And we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, what an incredible day today it is. Where's your focus? I pray that today that you focus on Him. Focus on Jesus. Allow your day to have a perspective as we take a day away, a day from our normal, to focus on Jesus. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.